This meeting is now being recorded.
Shalom, everyone. This is Elliot Schoenberg speaking, International Director of Placement for the Rabbinical Assembly. We would like to welcome you to Chodesh Tov. Chodesh Tov is our monthly 10-minute podcast that is a joint venture of the Schechter Rabbinical School in Jerusalem, the Ziegler School of Rabbinic Studies in Los Angeles, Jewish Theological Seminary in New York, and the Conservative Yeshiva in Jerusalem, and of course, the International Rabbinical Assembly. Purpose of these podcasts is to regularly inform our members of the most current thinking in a wide range of fields of Jewish study. Today, it is my pleasure to introduce as our guest speaker, Rabbi Dr. Gail Leibowitz, Associate Professor of Rabbinic Studies at the Ziegler School of Rabbinic Studies in Los Angeles. Thank you, Gail, for joining us today, and you will be speaking about your tshuva passed by the Law Committee of the Rabbinical Assembly. Shana tova and welcome.
Thank you. So I'm going to be speaking about my tshuva, the non-fasting shaliach tzibor on Yom Kippur, which you can find on the Rabbinical Assembly website. And I'm just going to touch a little bit about my considerations and writing this tshuva and some of the details, and you can read the tshuva for a more thorough explanation of the argument. First, I want to talk a little bit about the obligation to fast and the obligation sometimes not to fast. We know that in Jewish tradition, when one's life or health would be threatened by performing a mitzvah, then in that case, with a few very minor exceptions, it is actually a mitzvah not to perform the mitzvah, and this is largely based on a rabbinic understanding of Leviticus 18:5. You should keep my laws and my rules, which a person shall do and live by them, and the rabbis emphasize live by them and not die by them. So who does this tshuva apply to? Who are we talking about who cannot fast on Yom Kippur? My thought was, when this originally came to me to be written, it came from the subcommittee on women and gender issues, and it was clear that what they were thinking about were pregnant and nursing women. And that is indeed potentially one category of person to whom this applies, depending on what a woman's doctor tells her. I knew, however, of other cases, such as I had a colleague once who had hypoglycemia, which is sort of the opposite of diabetes as I understand it. People who are in treatment for certain medical issues and must take their medication with foods. During debates on the tshuva, Rabbi Daniel Nevins pointed out people who are in recovery from eating disorders often should not fast, that fasting can trigger all of the issues that they have around food and food regulation. So, in short, anyone whose doctor has told them that it is dangerous for them to fast, that person should not fast. It is actually a mitzvah for them not to fast, and they are covered by this tshuva. So now what's the actual case here? What's the issue? Can such a person who is medically unable to fast through no fault of their own, may they be your shaliach tzibor on the high holidays, and more particularly on Yom Kippur, when most of us are supposed to be fasting? What if this person is your chazan, your rabbi, someone who's been leading services for you for a long time, someone you've hired to be a kolbo, etc.? So on the one hand, we can look at just some rabbinic sources that talk about, let me back up. The first point is such a person obligated to pray on the high holidays? As we know, and this has been an issue in the conservative movement, something we've talked about a lot, not only in the conservative movement, someone can exempt you from a religious obligation under certain circumstances only if they have the same equal obligation to you. So the first point to be made is simply that the person who is not fasting nonetheless has the same obligation to pray and to pray the liturgy of Yom Kippur. So on that score, the person can be your emissary and can exempt you. But what are the qualifications we actually look for in a shaliach tzibor for the high holidays? So the first source I quote in the Tshuva is Rabbi Moshe Isserles, the Ramah, and this is what he says in the Shulchan Aruch, or Chaim 581.1. They should be punctilious to seek out the prayer leader who is most worthy and the most distinguished in Torah and good deeds that it is possible to find, who will pray Slichot in the high holidays. And he should be at least 30 years old, and he should also be married. Nonetheless, and this is the important line, all Israel are fit, so long as he, that is the chosen person, and of course in the Ramah's day it would have been he, so long as he is acceptable to the congregation. So in one sense, that's the answer, right? If the person is somebody that the community sees fit to have lead them, then that is what it means to be an emissary. We don't insist that somebody be 30 years old. We don't insist they be the most distinguished scholar anymore. We don't insist that they be married. So even though we don't take these criteria literally, nonetheless, I do want to suggest that they do give us some insight, though, into who is an appropriate person. And here there's a couple of other nice commentaries to the Shulchan Aruch that add these ideas. So, for example, the commentator known as the Magen Avraham tells us, it is the practice that the administrators and leaders who know the sorrow of the times are the ones who go and represent us. The Mishnah Brura, another commentary, says that they should be trustworthy men, defenders of the generation. Yet another source says, why 30 years old? Because the person who is 30 years old, that's the person, as the Mishnah Berurah says, whose heart has been broken and oppressed. So one thought that I had, and to which I must give credit to my father, Judah Leibovitz, was that someone who has been struggling with some of the issues we're talking about here, certainly that's a person whose heart has been broken and oppressed, and that's someone who is qualified to lead us, even if they are not fasting. In the end, we pick the person who is the most representative of the ideals we want for the community. And if that person is a non-faster, these sources would seem to suggest that that is okay. There is, however, one other consideration that I bring to bear here. The sources that I looked at, I could not find a source that actually spoke to the question of a non-fasting Shliach Tzibur on Yom Kippur. What I did find, however, is the question of someone who cannot fast and what happens on other fast days during the year. And what's interesting there is that the rabbis who discussed that case seem to feel that that is not an appropriate person. They disagree about what happens if you actually do have some person. Some sources say absolutely forbidden. Some say not preferable, but if they lead, okay. But the question is, why is that, and what would that mean for Yom Kippur? One obvious logical leap we might make would be, well, those are just minor fast days. All the more so on Yom Kippur, such a person shouldn't lead. I think that argument does not hold. And here's why. On a fast day, the core of the day is the fast. That's the key issue. And for want of a better word, the rabbis need to create a form of enforcement, as it were. And therefore, you want to insist that the person who is leading prayer be fasting. Otherwise, what's the point? There's, on the other hand, on Yom Kippur, right, that the issues of the day are so much beyond that, and there's so much else going on that is important in that day, that fasting is critical, but not the only or crucial issue of Yom Kippur. What's more, there's actually a liturgical issue involved. And that is that when one leads services on a fast day, the key liturgical piece that we add in honor, sort of to mark that fast day, is the Anenu prayer. And in the Anenu prayer, we say, Yom Tzom Ta'anitenu, or at least in some versions that the commentator, that the halachas had, for the poskim had in front of them. And there's a bracha involved. And how, that the Shliach Tzibur says for adding that paragraph. So how can a person who is not fasting say that prayer and say that blessing honestly? How can they say it without it being a blessing made in vain, taking God's name in vain, making a blessing that is not necessary? And that's an issue on a fast day, a communal fast day. But I went through all of the liturgy of Yom Kippur, and the key questions I asked myself were. Is there any liturgy that we say on Yom Kippur only and solely because it is a fast day? Are there prayers we say that mention fasting? And more particularly, are there blessings that we say only because it is a fast day? And what I found, and I went through every service, and I went through the three major machzorim that the conservative movement uses, the Silverman, the edition edited by Jules Harlow, and now most recently Lev Shalem. And I found that at most what we have are PU team that mention fasting, and those are optional. Those can always be changed or omitted. And the one place we run into a little bit of a problem is possibly in Musaf. We run into it in Unetana Tokef, but we see that also on Rosh Hashanah. So that prayer can't really be about fasting, even though we refer to the day of Yom Tzom Kippur there. We make a reference to Inui Nefesh, to self-denial, when we read the passage from the Bible that talks about Yom Kippur. And so I discuss what exactly does that mean? Is that a reference to fasting? But the bottom line is it doesn't affect the blessing. And it doesn't affect the prayer, for example, that the Shliach Tzibor would be saying by him or herself. That prayer somehow is not enough about fasting that it would prevent somebody from saying it even if they're not fasting. And so the bottom line of my tshuva is that this person may be your Shliach Tzibor. If particularly such considerations as they are the acceptable and preferred person to the community. They are the most qualified person. They're a person that you've hired regularly to lead prayer for you. Every one of those considerations could lead you to allow this person to be your Shaliach Tzibor. Now, there's a separate question about someone who has to eat. How should they do that? How should they be discreet, et cetera, et cetera? I'm hoping that will be my next tshuva. Thank you very much.
I'd like to thank Professor Gail Leibowitz for her understanding and teaching an appropriate set of new materials for us before this set of high holidays. Thank you, Professor. I'd like to wish everyone a Shana Tova, a sweet and prosperous and delightful new year. This is Elliot Schoenberg, International Director of Placement for the Rabbinical Assembly, and this has been Chodesh Tov.
Are we done recording? Are we done? I guess so.